We're going to make an effort this evening to get in the area of prophecy a little bit. I don't know how far we'll be able to get with the message tonight. It may take a part B or whatever, but we'll take a stab at it this evening. And when it comes to Bible prophecy, please understand there are certain aspects of Bible prophecy that some of the greatest minds that are existing, that have existed in terms of prophetic minds, there are disagreements when it comes to particular areas relating to prophecy. I think it's good from time to time to preach prophetic messages, because prophetic messages lets us understand that God is at work. He's on schedule. There is a future planned, and he is in control, and he's going to bring everything to pass according to his will. And eventually, it's all going to translate in the rule of Christ upon this earth. And then following that time of his rule, there will be the great white throne judgment, where the lost will be summoned to stand before the great white throne, and then eternity in the lake of fire for those that are unsaved, and then eternity blessed forever with the Lord on the case of those that are saved. But anyway, prophecy certainly has a major part. There's a lot of Bible passages that are prophetic Bible passages. That's one of the several reasons why I believe it's good to preach prophetic messages, because there's a lot in the Bible that has to do with prophecy. After all, we do have the prophetic books. We have the major prophetic books. We have what is called the minor prophetic books. We have the book of Revelation. We have so much prophetic material in the scriptures. And so tonight, let's bow for prayer, and then we'll study the scriptures together. Father, bless now as we journey back into the Word of God, and bless our time tonight in the scriptures. And I just pray that our study this evening will not be confusing, but a study that we will not only comprehend practical, simple truths related to Bible prophecy, but see how those truths apply to our lives. Bless each one that's here in this building tonight, and those that cannot be here that are viewing the service at home. We just pray now your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn tonight? Let's begin this way. Would you turn tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Now, we announced in the, I had Sister Lisa to put on the to put on Facebook the title of the message and the particular passage of scripture, which happens to be Revelation 16:16, and we'll get to that just a little bit later on. But I want to begin tonight by having us looking at chapter 24, and I want to begin reading at verse number 1. We are this evening looking at the subject, the coming end time battle. And that's where our focus will be as we progress through the message. And if time catches us, then I'll just come back and pick up with this a little bit later on. But now look at chapter 24 of the book of Matthew. Verse number 1, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, that particular verse, verse number 2, has reference to the destruction of Jerusalem. We know the Roman Emperor Titus would literally destroy the temple and so forth, and that would happen in 70 A.D. So verse number 2 is a reference to that very thing happening. Now look at verse number 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? The word world also is a word ages, or the end of the age. They ask him, what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Could I begin tonight by simply reminding us something that I think we all sense, we all know. We're living in both pathetic times in terms of the immoral downhill trend of culture as far as the moral climate of our land is concerned, but we're also living in prophetic times in many ways. I think that perhaps the pathetic characteristic is prophetic within itself, because we find, as we read prophetic scripture, that one of the characteristics of the last days will be an increase in immorality, an increase of this pathetic condition. I will point out this. In Matthew chapters 24 and 25, this section of scripture is the Olivet Discourse. This section of scripture is on Jewish ground. And what I mean by that is the Olivet Discourse relates to Israel at the end of the age. It's not necessarily church material as much as Israel material. The content of Matthew's 24 and 25 pertains to the times upon this earth preceding the coming of Christ back to this earth at the end of the tribulation period. The things that we see here in these two chapters are relating to the conditions of the land after the church has been raptured out. This is not pre-rapture material as much as it is post-rapture, preceding Christ's return at the end of the tribulation period. Now, each of you in this service tonight understand the prophetic sequence. You know that the next event pertaining to the church is the rapture. Then you know that there will be a time of tribulation upon this earth. It'll run its course for approximately 7 years. You know also, based upon the teachings of Daniel, and we'll look at a little bit of that tonight. I may just be reading some scriptures this evening, just maybe doing right much reading, and I'll maybe try to explain that a little bit later, but sometimes it's good just to read. But now, what will happen after the church is taken out? The man of sin will be revealed. I don't think he's going to be revealed until the church is taken out. And in other words, the rapture occurs and then the Antichrist will be revealed. I have nowhere in the Bible, I find no support in Scripture to indicate that the Antichrist will be revealed before the rapture. It would seem to me the teachings of Paul in 2 Thessalonians that the revelation of who he is will be after the church goes out. What will happen? He will become head of the European Confederacy, the Western Confederacy. He will become head of the Western Confederacy. He will, and we can read this in Daniel, we may look at Daniel chapter 11 a little bit later on. He will broker a peace treaty with the nation Israel. For the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, it'll be a time of relative peace. Things will be relatively calm. In the book of Revelation, the first writer that comes on the scene, the writer, he has a bow, but he has no arrows. So the Antichrist will resort to diplomacy, will broker a peace treaty with Israel. And Israel, according to what Daniel says, and we'll look at some verses, will be basically relaxed, comfortable, and at peace. Somewhere along the middle of the tribulation period, all hell, so to speak, will break out on this earth. And, you know, we talk about the Battle of Armageddon, don't we? In fact, Revelation chapter 16, verse 16, I'll read that. Revelation 16 and verse number 16, it says, he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Now, I'm just going to mention this verse and touch on it softly, But we hear about the battle of Armageddon, the end time battle. I would suggest tonight that in my way of thinking, based upon my study, I believe it will be a campaign of Armageddon. I believe it's going to be a campaign in the end. And what I mean by that, when the peace treaty is broken with Israel, it would seem the last 3.5 years there will be all kinds of actors that will be moving in, coming against Israel, and it'll culminate with the return of Christ in glory, Revelation chapter 19, where he will destroy all of the various enemies upon this earth. Now, Bible scholars are a little bit divided in terms of who those actors might be. We look at Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. The Bible mentions Gog and Magog. It mentions the power out of the north. And most of the reputable scholars that I've read and understand, I'm thinking of Walbert and Ryrie and people from, in that particular premillennial framework, they believe that Russia itself will be a major actor in the end time event as far as the involvement in the campaign at Armageddon. Russia at some point of time, Ezekiel 38:39, and I need to fine tune this more with scripture later on, they'll make their move, they'll move in, and God will supernaturally destroy them based upon the teachings of scripture. You have the king of the south moving in that end time actor lineup. There are those that identify the king of the south as possibly Egypt. Perhaps you take the continent of Africa, you take some of those African nations out of that continent, perhaps those from the south, then you have another actor coming out of the east. At the end of the campaign, so to speak, many recognize, look at the eastern actor as perhaps China, hordes out of China. You have people that, good Bible students that believe, that involved in the actor lineup as far as that campaign will be some of the Muslim nations that have always hated Israel, Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, places like that. So there's a little bit of a differences of opinion in terms of who these actors will be. But I don't think that's nearly as important than to simply realize that who they are, that's irrelevant, because the point is God's going to do his work, his job. God's going to score his victory. He's going to put the whammy on all of them at the end. And they're going to have their Waterloo in a major way at the end. I do think it's somewhat significant that right now, as I speak, it is to me fairly significant that Russia is staging its forces on the Ukrainian border. I'm not a type of a preacher that likes to dramatize everything that happens, but I do believe this: Russia is still well and alive on planet Earth. And I can see how they can have their eyes at some point of time after the church goes up in the rich resources of the Dead Sea, the minerals, the resources of Palestine. And I could see how they very well could be represented by that power out of the north, that Gog, that Magog, as is talked about. But now let me back up here, and let me just kind of wade into this from another angle, and I may fine-tune it somewhat later on. The Olivet Discourse, which Matthew 24:25 references the time after the rapture, but we see some characteristics of the tribulation period time at least have partial fulfillment in the present age. For example, we see general signs. In the Olivet Discourse, we have general signs and specific signs. The general signs, we can see a parallel even to the characteristics of our time. The characteristics of our time. Now, let me prove my point if I can at this time. All right, I want you to look at verse number 5 at chapter 24. Many shall come in my name saying, I am in Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Could I remind you tonight that these verses here are primarily speaking of the earth, of the land after the church is taken out. Because this was spoken, this is Israel, Jewish context primarily. But now let me keep reading. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers or many places. These are the beginning of sorrows. I've just read verses that have a strange parallel even to modern times during this church age. Wars, rumors of wars, pestilences, increase of earthquakes. I mean, so what I'm saying here, these general signs do have parallel to the times in which we're living. And if that be true, then I think that's noteworthy. I think that would indicate to us that we are indeed in the last days. The disciples asked the question, what's going to be the sign at the end of the age? I believe these signs are out there. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, this know also that in the last days, that's the last days of the church. Paul is talking about the last days of the church on this earth. He says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times. Perilous means dangerous. Can you remember a time where living was any more of a dangerous proposition than it is now? We're living in dangerous times. Hardly a day goes by but what we don't hear of another killing. Children killed, shot right in their cars, gangs roving the streets, shooting at one another. Kids being caught up in it and killed. The murder rate is up. We could mention Chicago. We could mention New York City. We could mention Philadelphia. We could mention some of those major cities in our country, the uptick of homicides. It cannot be denied. But life has become cheaper. We're living in perilous times. And that is an indication of last days. The church, or the bride of Christ, is still upon this earth. This is the church age. But the church will go up in the rapture. In the book of Revelation, here's what I find to be interesting. In the book of Revelation, the word church is mentioned 19 times in the first three chapters of Revelation. First three chapters of Revelation. But after, when you get to chapter 4, from chapter 4 through 19, you don't even find the word mentioned. But it's mentioned 19 times in the first two chapters of the book of Revelation, or first three chapters. That's because the church is upon this earth at that time. That represents the church age. The seven churches of Asia Minor, the Bible teaches. Revelation chapters 2 and 3. The book of Revelation, the natural outline of the whole book, write to things, Revelation 1:19, write to things which thou hast seen. That's chapter 1. Write to things which are. That's chapters 2 and 3. That's church age. Write to things which will be hereafter. That's chapter 4, right on through the end of the book of Revelation. It's a natural outline in the book. Now, I'm saying all that this to basically come to my other point later on. And if my time runs out, I'll be back on in this on Wednesday night. So here's what I'm pointing out. Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 14, references general signs pertaining to the first half of the tribulation period. General signs. False Christ, wars, rumors of war, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, many martyrs, false prophets, increasing evil, loss of fervent love and worldwide preaching though. Because the 144,000 Jewish people will be sealed. So those are general signs that will take place upon this earth. Again, not pre-rapture stuff, but after the rapture on this earth. But again, we see a parallel even now with things happening upon this earth. The church, however, is not told to look for signs preceding the rapture, but world developments matching the predictions of Scripture pertaining to the last days are not to be taken for granted. We are to be ready. We are to anticipate the imminent return of Christ. Why? We should be ready and anticipate the imminent return of Christ on the basis of even what the apostles preached and believed. Paul believed Christ was coming. John believed Christ was coming. The apostles preached it and believed it. But also, we need to believe it because Jesus said it. I come quickly. I come. This same Lord which was taken up from heaven will so come in like manner. So, we still need to be looking for the coming of Christ. Now, a serious, and the look at the general signs, though, coming back to the Olivet Discourse, should cause every serious Bible student to believe in the imminency of Christ's return. When we see a parallel right now in the days that we're living to the general signs that will take place during the tribulation period, that should get our attention. All of this lawlessness in the land, all of this wickedness in the land, all of these developments in the land should cause a Bible student to realize that the clock is ticking and Christ is coming. The conflict in the Middle East is not to be taken lightly. Conflict in the Middle East. You know, right now there is more anti-Semitism than there's ever been. In this very country, anti-Semitism is on the rise. So many are against Israel. Israel is a hated nation. Israel is the, you might say, the very hub of the world events. The anti-Semitism. And I'll point this out. The conflict, when we think of Armageddon, go back to that word. The final end conflict will take place in the Middle East. This will be the site of the end time battle of battles. It will be. While I speak right now on this date, this country of ours is in some of the most serious troubles it's ever faced. You know, America right now is in a mess. I mean, this country right now is just as about as messed up in more ways you can count than what you can, than what, it's kind of hard to believe it. I was watching the news yesterday morning, and the former Brexit leader of Great Britain, Nigel Farage, do you know what he said? He said that Biden is the greatest threat to the world. Come out of his mouth, Biden is the greatest threat to this world. We may try to analyze that statement, but you stop and think about that. The United States has been the superpower. All nations of this world have looked to the United States of America for a leadership mentor role. But what do they see now? They see a weak, vacillating president who doesn't know whether he's coming or going half the time. We see someone that has not taken a strong stand as he should. And our enemies right now see us and view us as cowards. We're not trusted by many of our allies. And not only that, not only the international threats, but internally. We could go down the list tonight. Look at, and I'm saying, I think all this is adding up. I don't see this as insignificant. I believe this is all part of the stage being set. Nowhere in Scripture do I find any clear-cut Bible verse showing the United States of America as being a superpower after the church goes up during the tribulation period. I personally believe that we will have been so weakened economically, militarily, in other ways, that all we'll blend in with the Western Confederacy. We'll be, let's say, an ally to the Western nations. But as far as having superpower status, I find it rather strange. In the Bible, you cannot find any verses or a verse that indicates America is a dominant, prominent nation. In fact, you can't even find the name. That seems to indicate something. But now here's what I will say. All right, look at us tonight. Look at where we are. Look at our economy. We're literally bankrupt. All we do is print more money. I mean, my goodness, economics 101 would teach us. You can't just keep printing money. There has to be a foundation. There has to be there has to be a standard. It was the gold standard years ago, of course. Our economy is tanking. The youth of our land have no economical future. We're spending billions and billions of dollars that is being wasted on enterprises that are not significant at all. And our young people are going to be strapped with a debt that they'll never be able to pay their way out of. Look at our economy. It's being bankrupt. Look at the borders. The borders. Our sovereign status as a nation is being destroyed because borders are becoming insignificant in the mindset of the radicals who are letting everybody and everything cross, bringing with them the drugs, bringing with them bad actors, who God only knows what other countries they're from. So we have the crisis on the border. We have the communist takeover in education and government. That's exactly what it is, a communist takeover. School system. We have the moral pollution in our land. I mean, it can't get any more sickening. I mean, I don't even need to waste any more time on this. You know that we are morally bankrupt. The filth, the corruption. When you hear reports like, I can't think of the exact percentage, I didn't know, but it is shocking. It is shocking to find out about so many kids being raised in one-parent homes. I mean, the breakdown in marriage, the home, the basic unit of society is being destroyed. The immorality, the adultery, the incest living, and the attempt to redefine sex. I'm telling you, it must cause the nostrils of God to stink. We are corrupt. The weakening of our military, the lawlessness on our streets. Look at the ecological disasters, the fires, the storms, the earthquakes, the pestilences, and yes, the viruses. I don't believe in exploiting in a dramatic conspiracy manner of the happenings in this world, but I also believe we should not ignore what's going on. I think we need to really believe tonight that Christ is coming. We really need to believe tonight that this planet Earth is in for a ride. Once the church goes out, it's in for a ride. Russia, as I said, amassing, excuse me, its troops on the Ukrainian border, and it may very well launch an invasion any time. We're hearing that, aren't we? What does that mean? Does that mean the potential of another war? I hope not. But that war could be a major one. But I just know this, according to the Bible, I believe that Russia will have its eyes on Palestine, on Israel, in the end days. Now let me begin to read just a few verses of Scripture, and I'll just read them. I won't say a whole lot just to get us to thinking. But I'm going to read, first of all, Revelation 16:16, which is what we've already read. But here's what it says. He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Let me pause here for just a moment. I believe that in the end, there will be a great gathering. A great gathering at Armageddon. It's going to be a gathering of nations. It's going to be a gathering of armies, of forces. It's going to be a gathering with one purpose in mind, to do warfare. There will be so many people that will die. And I'm thinking now particularly when the northern power, Gog Magog, those forces move in. There will be such a mass destruction where God will supernaturally destroy those Roman forces. It'll take 7 months to bury all the corpses. And we've got verses on that. Now, all right, let me keep reading. Revelation 16:12 says, the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. The water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, let me just say a few things about Armageddon, and specifically Megiddo. You know, the plain of Megiddo, which of course is in Israel, is could very well be the staging area of the final battle, but the war and we can see this, the war will actually extend over 200 miles from north to south. Talking about an end time conflict. The Valley of Megiddo itself will perhaps just be the staging area, but again, like I'm saying, the total battle zone area will be roughly 200 miles. Let me keep reading. Revelation 14, verse 20. The Bible says the wine press was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the wine press, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now, by the way, 1,600 furlongs breaks down to roughly 200 miles. So the extent of the total battleground will be roughly 200 miles. At least that's what the Bible would seem to indicate. Try to imagine the armies of the world amassed in that area, and God supernaturally destroying the blood up to a horse's bridle, the Bible says. Now, you'll notice here, let me go back here and read. Okay, Revelation 16:12, I'm reading it. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great Euphrates. Water there was dried up the way the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, the kings of the east, Bible students have differences of ideas as far as who those are. There are some that say it's possibly a reference to the Muslim nations eastward, including Iran, including Afghanistan, including Pakistan. Now, Megiddo, the Valley of Megiddo itself, in fact, we saw that when we were in Israel, it's north of Palestine. It's a plain, the plain of Megiddo, north of Palestine, is 14 miles wide, is 20 miles long, as far as the Megiddo plains. But Bible students believe that that will just basically be the staging area. But the actual conflict, as Revelation reads, we're talking roughly a 200-mile stretch. Megiddo, north of Palestine, is a plain, as I said, 14 miles wide, 20 miles long. It stretches from Mount Carmel, 40 miles across, to the Sea of Galilee. Napoleon called the plain of Megiddo the world's greatest battlefield. In fact, there have been many notable battles that have been fought in the plain of Megiddo. Now, let me reference something. Ezekiel 38:39 reveals a movement of nations against Israel in the end time before Christ returned back to this earth. So now, quickly, just a brief outline, and I'll close up shop, and we'll come back Wednesday night to this, okay? Okay, so the place we're talking about, Armageddon. The purpose. There's a divine purpose for it all. The purpose is in Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Why is God allowing Armageddon? Here it is. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut to pieces, though all the peoples of the earth be gathered together against it. So Jerusalem, God will use Jerusalem as a meal, and God will grind the nations. What we're going to see in Armageddon is God himself bringing those nations together. He will grind them. Jerusalem will be a meal, and God will grind the nations. Now, it's kind of a negative point to end on. I realize that. But there is a positive spinoff to that. That lets us know that God will only put up so long with evil, wicked people upon this earth. And those headstrong nations that think they can go up and run roughshod over Israel and do what they please with God's covenant people, they are in for an awakening, because Armageddon will prove to be an awakening where nations will have to admit Israel was special all along. Jesus will come back. What I see happening is this. Okay, quickly. Rapture takes place. Church goes out. Antichrist comes on the scene. Becomes a leader over the Western European nation confederacy. Broker a peace treaty with Israel. 3.5 years into peace treaty, things will begin to develop. Russia, I believe, will come against Israel. God will destroy Russia. There will be the Muslim peoples that have been anti-Semitic. More than likely, you have China involved. You'll have nations out of continent of Africa. Several actors involved. It doesn't really matter who they are, but what matters is this. In the end, God will destroy them all. He will become king. He will rule upon this earth. You know, the breakdown is confusing. Daniel 11 is a good chapter to read, and I'll try to get back into this a little bit, maybe Wednesday night. Daniel 11, Ezekiel 38, 39, the book of Revelation, Zechariah, so many books that come together. Some are saying, have different opinions on who this will be. But the who is not as important as what God will do in the end. So it'll intensify. I believe the Armageddon is a campaign that'll begin midway into the trib. Hostilities will break out. What I see happening is I see Russia going into Israel being destroyed, and I see the Antichrist, who is the ruler over the Western Confederacy, he will see that as a vacuum. He hasn't really been headquartered in Israel himself. He's been in Europe. Then he will move over to Jerusalem, over to Israel itself. And about the time he gets over there, tidings will be coming out of the east. It's going to trouble him. And a lot of students believe that at the ending will be the movement on the part of the Orient, of the Chinese and the allies of China and so forth coming in. And so the final phase of it all will be when that happens. Then that's when the sound will be heard upward. Christ will return with his troops from heaven. The church will be a part of that. He will speak the word and destroy. All it will take will be his word. Sword goes out of his mouth. Well, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. He'll simply speak. The enemies will die before him. And it'll be mass casualties when he returns. So how it breaks down is a little bit confusing. But the way it breaks down and who breaks it down is where we draw our comfort. God's going to pull it to the end, to the ending. And that's when it will happen. And Revelation 19 is where he comes back. That's his return. That's coming back to this earth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for the encouragement of Scripture. Much of it is confusing to our minds as far as sorting it all together. But Lord, help us this evening to just rejoice more in who the Lord is, what he's done, what he will do, and be satisfied in him, that when our lives are in him, our lives are in good hands. Father, speak to the hearts of people that might be listening tonight that have never made preparation to meet him. If he had come, they'd be left. I pray this evening for an awakening on the part of lost sinners that hear these messages in this church and, Lord, on the internet. May people turn to the Lord before it's too late. May your people be encouraged, draw closer to you as a result of prophetic Scripture. Bless the invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.